News starts right now.
I've got your picture, I've got your picture. I'd like a million of your aura myself. I want a doctor to take a picture so I can look at you from inside as well. You got me turning up and turning down. I'm turning in, I'm turning right, I'm turning Japanese. I think I'm turning Japanese, I really think so.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I hate it that we have this little tussle up here. It's obvious that your feelings were hurt because now you're doubling down on not getting your way here with a very vague agenda item. And I'm sorry about that. But it's time we all have our big boy pants on and we do the work. That was obvious that there was no work put into it. There was no work put into it. It was an agenda with no backup. So here we go. Let's throw a 207-foot flag in front of you, and you're going to vote for it, or you're against the American flag. That's the way I looked at that. So I apologize. I'm a little upset with that.
So the backdrop here, in case you didn't hear the 610 presentation, is that you remember the whole conversation about what percentage of local option sales tax, if it renews, will be devoted to land conservation, farmland conservation, which is District 3, the north end of Santa Rosa County, Rhett Rowell's district. Well, Rhett had said, I would like to have a vote in which we pledge to carve off a slice of that renewal, and that'll help us pass the referendum again this year. The rest of the commissioners said, we are for it in spirit, but you have not asked for a particular number. The Trust for Public Land is going to come back to us with information in a month, and we can have a conversation then. They're going to be polling, so we'll have a better sense to figure out what do people really want out of the local option sales tax. Do they care about conservation or not? Would pledging some of that money for conservation, meaning away from roads or stormwater, cost us the renewal? So let's just find more out. And mostly, why didn't you put a percentage on it? Rhett Rowell says, well, you know, I don't care about all that. Here's why it's good. You know, we're not going to do anything. I don't know why you guys won't just vote for this. Their answer was, well, we would consider it if there were an actual number. There's no actual number and there's no information. Okay, so that was the Tuesday meeting. Then on Thursday, when Colton Wright was out and he had been one of the primary people arguing against having a vote then, just they all want to do conservation. They're going to have more of a conversation in a month. That's what they had decided on. And, you know, it kind of got embarrassing a little bit for Rhett Rowell because nobody seconded his motion. And then the motion to push it off got, you know, 4-1 vote. Okay, so Colton is out of town. He's in D.C. We're actually going to be talking to him about 30 minutes about what he got done in D.C. And Rhett Rowell brings it back up. When the primary person that you engaged against isn't there, it's kind of a weird time to bring it back up. But he wants to bring it back up. And he says we should be making policy and it's our job to figure these things out and make the tough calls. And Kerry Smith says, well, you know, your feelings got hurt. And, you know, I understand that, but that's not a reason to do things a certain way. And, you know, we should all put our big boy pants on. As a side note, would you say put your big boy pants on if there were a female commissioner? I'm not one generally for a lot of the kind of woke sexism kind of observations, but I don't know. That one's starting to sit weird with me. Men and women are not equal. Men and women are not identical. Men and women are not interchangeable. I mean, they're equal in certain ways, okay? But they're not the same. And so I understand that they're, you know, hey, be a man about it. I mean, you know, I don't mind people saying that. But there's just something about that one version of this way of thinking, you know, we all need to put our big boy pants on. It's maybe I'm wrong, but you tell me. Anyway, it's just a thought. Just a thought. Always in the direction of trying to find the way to be the most persuasive. So he says, look, it was a terrible agenda. It's like doing the flag. It's just symbolic. It doesn't accomplish anything. And there's a little bit of a personal barb in there that it's kind of falling back into the habits of the James Calkins presence on the board. Okay. Then it gets even weirder. You thought it wouldn't get weird. This is going to get weirder. TPO is going to come up in this conversation. That's the Transportation Planning Organization. That's where all of your county commissioners for Baldwin County, Escambia and Santa Rosa, plus city council members, plus, mayors. There's all kinds of people on this. It's like 20, 25 people. That's where they figure out transportation matters. All the county commissioners in Santa Rosa and Escambia are on this. That's going to become relevant here in a second.
If you disagree about the way I go about protecting the taxpayer, it's not personal. It's not personal. I saw you yesterday at TPO meeting. You acted like I wasn't even in existence. You didn't even acknowledge me. I waved at you in the parking lot. It's like, I'm sorry. Yeah, you didn't even say a word to me. And that's like, goodness gracious. It's not personal. I'm trying to do the job that I was appointed to do.
I wasn't there. I can't speak to it, obviously. I think it's plausible that Rhett was upset and didn't want to engage with Kerry. That kind of stuff happens. I think it's also plausible that Kerry overinterpreted that maybe Rhett didn't see him and that didn't speak to him, and then he kind of got in his mind that Rhett was angry at him, and that's how he reads today's meeting. There's room for sort of possibility on both sides, but as you would not be surprised to find out, this is going to become funny here in a moment. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Florida West. Every Florida West project is evaluated on jobs created, wages paid, and generates a positive return on investment to Escambia County taxpayers. Still dealing with those couple of accidents, Chiefs Way and West Navy Boulevards off to the side of the road. I've seen some minor slowdowns there. And also East Burgess Road and Confederate Drive right there in front of West Florida High School, a.k.a. Woodham High School. That's where I graduated. That's where I graduated. So, all right, other than that, we're great. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Didn't Justin Gatlin go there, too, to Woodham? There you go. We live in that vicinity. So, hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motor is a great source of good quality used cars. Cars that are a year to 4 years young, you're going to be the second owner, maybe the third owner. 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles, but cars that are essentially new except for they're not quite new. You know, they're going to last a long time. They warranty everything to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they stand by. That's not extra. That's just included. They're trying to sell you good quality cars, but you don't have to pay for that first mile. You know, that's so expensive, that very first mile that you drive a car. And it won't have the new car smell, but everything else about it is going to be in great shape. And I say this from experience because when we bought a car there several years ago, they called us 6 months and asked us if there was anything wrong with the car, and there wasn't. They called us a year afterwards, and there was, like, one of the physical keys did not work, and so they replaced that at their cost a year after we bought the car. I mean, and they went out of their way to find it to make sure that we were happy. Like, that, to me, speaks volumes about their interest in doing things differently, in trying to take care of their customers, and in basically doing such a good job of this that they try to cultivate you as a client for life. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, so now it's not just a question between Kerry Smith and Rhett Rowell of whose feelings got hurt or who's, you know, grandstanding or who's doing something for political symbolism. Now it's a matter of guys that had been getting along pretty genially for a long time. You know, now all of a sudden, you're not talking to me at the TPO meeting. That's what Kerry Smith says. You didn't talk to me at the TPO. I waved at you. You didn't say hi to me.
Okay, so thank you. Yes, sir. I sat right next to you in that meeting. We talked.
Say a word to
you. Okay.
Kerry says, we didn't. You didn't say a word to me.
And so to the definition of subsidy.
Oh, he had earlier said that if you upzone a property, that you increase the density available for a property or change it, you know, you're allowing businesses to do something. That is a form of subsidy. Kerry Smith said that's not a subsidy because that's a property right. Well, you do not have a property right to an upzoning. And if the government grants you a concession that allows you to build differently, that is a kind of subsidy. You're giving something of value, which presumably they might be willing to pay for. In fact, one of the side notes here is I've often kind of fiddle around with the idea that maybe people should have to pay for zoning changes because they obviously want them. Maybe it would be a revenue stream. I don't know if you're even allowed to sell them. You probably aren't. But it seems like you're giving them something of value. There should be a contribution of some kind in kind. Anyway, if you're talking about farmland being like transfer development rights where the county might buy off the development rights, that's also a kind of subsidy. And that's what he's getting at. Upzoning is a subsidy. Downzoning is kind of what it would be for transfer development rights. But either way, we subsidize all these other industries. Why don't we also subsidize farming? And Kerry had said it's not a subsidy, but Rhett says, yeah, it is.
Is when a public body assists an industry or business so that the price of a commodity or service may remain low or competitive. So that's what the definition of a subsidy is. And you are correct that it is when we talk about private property rights, yes, it is every person's right to request a variance or request an upzone or a special obviously, it's their right. That has nothing to do with this conversation. It's not their right to receive it. It's their right to ask for it.
Right.
So to say that it's their right to receive a variance, or that's not correct. And I just defined subsidy. So the definition that I got, at least from Google, is what I just read.
Now we're having a language argument about the meaning of a subsidy. You know, many government actions would have an impact on business, and some that make it more favorable, they're not exactly a subsidy, but they are a concession of value. And, you know, I don't know, sometimes we get into arguing about what words mean, but okay, go on.
So again, it's community announcements. I'm making an announcement to the community, and I'll leave it at that. And I'm not mad at anybody. And we talked, we sat beside each other. That's bizarre, but I'm not upset with anybody up here. We're gonna talk about things when we can talk about it. Just like you said, we don't get to talk on the phone and call each other and discuss our differences. So,
well, actually, I mean, they could have a phone call. You know, are you angry at me? You know, that's actually a phone call they'd be allowed to have. They wouldn't be able to talk about something that would be an upcoming voting issue. So they wouldn't be able to talk about the land conservation, all that kind of stuff, but they could, you know, it's perfectly fine for Carrie to call Rhett or vice versa, or text him and be like, "Hey man, you upset at me?" I mean, maybe it's not the most common conversation to have, but it is the kind of conversation you have, like, you know, in a marriage, you know, "Are you upset at me?" You know, right? What's wrong? Nothing. Oh, well, something huge. We're just not saying yet. Right. Okay. Well, you know, it's not a sunshine violation. As long as it's not a voting matter that they're talking about, they could talk about, you know, baseball, football, hurt feelings, beer, you know, fishing, whatever. It's all possible. Okay, back to the issue of the TPO and the who didn't talk to who, at what meeting, where they were angry or weren't they?
I'm not going to be made to be a liar. We did not talk.
Uh-oh.
You and I had no conversation with each other whatsoever yesterday. I'm sorry that you're saying that. Okay.
So, I don't know whether they talked or didn't. Yeah. I watched the video from the TPO. You can't tell. It's such a tiny little screen on the side. I don't know. But anyway, when Ray Eddington is going to come in and play Peacemaker, it's a little weird.
Okay, let's get back on the subject.
Focus, gentlemen.
I hope I can get the board here on the same page with me.
So there you go. All right, that's fine. We'll end it on a humorous note. So I don't know whose feelings got hurt. I don't know who got talked to or didn't. I don't know who's being friends or saying mean girl comments. It feels a little bit that way. And I think they could all do a little bit better. You know, I think Rhett shouldn't have started this fight up again when Colton wasn't around. I think Carrie probably could have been a little bit more diplomatic. I don't know whether they talk, so I don't know about the fact question there. But I did think Ray Eddington ended it on what was, well, no, Bobby Burkett actually ended on kind of a funny note here.
We got 250 years coming up in July. I'd like to do something for the Santa Rosa County, something special, if we could. I could get some ideas from y'all, get with the staff to do something. I think it'd be a good thing for us to do something for the 250 years. If we could.
As long as it ain't a 210-foot flag.
I love it. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I bid you a happy President's Day. Undoubtedly, the United States of America is the greatest country in the world today, and possibly in all of human history. This President's Day, be sure to take time to praise God for our constitutional republic. Praise Him for the purpose of government, as explained in Romans 13, which is to punish evildoers and to protect those that do good. Praise God that you live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Take time today to pray for our current president and to praise God for our previous presidents, like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, and so many others. Further, as 1 Timothy 2 instructs, pray for our civil authorities that we may all lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
That was Strength for Life, hosted by Pastor James C. Johnson. For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Ladies, join us to be the impact in 2026. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, a women's organization that has given over $18 million to nonprofits right here. Meet other members and hear about the impact our funding has made at Meet and Mingle sessions through mid-February. Women 18 and older are invited to join us by March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org. That's impact100pensacola.org.
Join Teddy Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Ooh, guns, guns, guns.
You recognize that voice, John? You looked a little befuddled by that sound clip.
I did. I was trying to place it.
That's Kurtwood Smith. You know who Kurtwood Smith is? The dad, Red Foreman, in That 70s Show.
Oh, okay.
But he was the bad guy in RoboCop. So that's
wow.
Where that was from.
Yeah.
Yeah, deep dig, right? All right,
yes.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with the accident that happened on East Burgess Road and Confederate Drive. Definitely want to avoid that area if at all possible. And also Chiefs Way and West Navy Boulevard, that's off to the side of the road. Just some minor delays on Navy Boulevard. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. One last quick comment on the Santa Rosa County thing. What's kind of frustrating to me as, you know, the observer is Rhett Rowell and Kerry Smith and Colton Wright and Bobby and Ray, these are all good men. These are all decent people. They're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to legislate wisely. And that's why I hate to see when it kind of devolves into this kind of nonsense, is because it's just not necessary. It's just not. I mean, you know, every little piece of the conversation, I understand why it moved in that direction, but it just, you know, doesn't have to. And it's frustrating to see people who, you know, I like all of them. I, they're all smart, capable, again, decent, good people who just at this particular moment, you know, they're not getting along all that well. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Tehran is working towards a nuclear agreement with the U.S., according to an Iranian diplomat. Iran and the U.S. are scheduled to hold some nuclear talks tomorrow in Geneva. The Pentagon has also deployed a second aircraft carrier to the region as the Trump administration continues weighing military options if those talks are not successful. Former President Barack Obama speaking out about a racist video recently shared on social media by the president. President Trump says he was unaware of the racist portion of the video he shared, which depicted the Obamas apparently as apes, but has never apologized for it. Obama was asked about the video in a podcast. He said he hopes that the people he meets in his travels still believe in decency, courtesy, and kindness.
Yeah, I think some of the context here might matter. I haven't watched the thing, but I have read a little bit about it. It's been taken down. There was basically, it's one of those like YouTube autoplay kind of scenarios where a video had something in the beginning for the most of it, maybe 45 seconds. I could be wrong, but I believe that's right. And then there was a carryover to a subsequent video that had this depiction of the Obamas on ape bodies as part of like Lion King or something or other. And the one that the president shared on his feed had that last bit in it. And he says he hadn't even seen that part and, you know, shared it. And then originally didn't apologize and then took it down. So I don't know. It makes it sound like it was just, you know, Trump put up a ape video of the Obamas and that's not really what happened.
So it was like an autoplay into the next video?
It was somebody recorded what is, again, my understanding, somebody recorded off of YouTube what they were watching, but they snipped it poorly so that at the end it had the beginning of the next video. It wasn't that the YouTube video itself was like this. It's that whoever cut it cut it poorly and left in some of the subsequent stuff, and that's the piece that got shared on Trump's social media. So,
and this is why proper editing is important for content
definitely.
Creators.
Yeah, yeah. No, it definitely is.
Absolutely. And Wuthering Heights apparently taking the top box office spot for Valentine's Day weekend at the theaters. The latest version of the classic romance brought in $77 million in its opening weekend.
You mean somebody wants to pay to see, a famous, barely sexual book recast with Margot Robbie getting smashed. I mean, I think that's what the viewer said. So remember, Julio warned us about this on Friday. Is whatever you think Wuthering Heights is normally, this is a little different. This is a little bit more involved. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, coming up next, we got Jim Patronis is out today. We're going to talk to him tomorrow, actually, instead at 8:10 if you're looking forward to that interview. But I got another one for you that'll be really interesting. Colton Wright, Santa Rosa County Commissioner, traveled to D.C. over the week, last week, to lobby on behalf of military matters for Northwest Florida. Should be some very interesting stuff that he learned and got done. We'll talk to him coming up next.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Day three in the partial government shutdown that cut off funding for the Department of Homeland Security. The money drying up, 12:01 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. Minnesota Congressman Tom Emmer.
They want law enforcement agents to show ID when they don't want voters to show ID. There's no common sense here. This is all politics. They're talking around the issue.
A Republican earlier in Fox and Friends, Democrats demanding 10 reforms to ICE operation before funding DHS. Nancy Guthrie missing for 16 days. Fox's Matt Finn in Tucson.
Authorities say they have found at least 16 gloves, but this one single glove could be a match to the one that masked suspect is wearing on the Nest Cam video.
Officials say that glove was found 2 miles from Nancy Garcia's home. And Secretary of State Marco Rubio meeting today with Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got cloudy skies this morning. It is 58 degrees right now. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. We've got that up in just a few minutes here. Pensacola City Councilman Charles Baer warning last week that he has some concerns about the city's arrangement with the Children's Trust Fund. He is planning to speak more on that next month when the issue comes back before the council. Baer did say they never asked him for input on the original agreement.
I've got some real concerns about this arrangement that we've worked out with the Children's Trust. Personally, I was never asked to give any input whatsoever into any kind of agreement with the Children's Trust for these funds, and that seems inappropriate to me. I think, and as I told the mayor, and he, heard me, was that this could have been a discussion item in the CRA or in the council or something, just to kind of talk about, well, what's our wish with that money if it comes back to us?
And Baer did say the Children's Trust, he believes to be struggling, and said he's hesitant to submit reports to them about money that belongs to Pensacola citizens. Former council member Sherry Myers also spoke against the CRA receiving Children's Trust funds. Escambia County says they're planning to replace the skate equipment removed from Chimes Way Park in the Brent community. Crews took out the ramps earlier this month after neighbors raised concerns about homeless people staying there and the condition of the equipment. Commissioner Lumen May says the equipment was damaged and had to go, but agrees it needs to be replaced. Skaters spoke at a recent county meeting saying there's a growing need for more skate spots. The Blake Doyle Skate Park downtown is often at capacity. The city's Gull Point Skate Park was retired last year. There's no timeline yet for when the new equipment could be installed. Well, Santa Rosa County will need to comply with new federal flood management requirements if they want to receive disaster grants. That's at least according to Chris Kerb of Flood Defenders, who told commissioners last week the federal government is soon going to require local governments to use NOAA rainfall data as part of the Floods Act of 2022.
So you might as well get on board with it before it hits you, and you're required to, because they're going to tie grants to it. Your local option sales tax ain't going to be enough. You're going to need grants. So it's all about the money, gentlemen.
Kerb said that the Floods Act will aims at least to enhance forecasting management through the establishment of a national integrated flood information system. The act requires NOAA to update rainfall data every 10 years because weather is changing. Kerb said one of the most important provisions is interagency coordination, requiring federal agencies to work collaboratively. on water-related issues. Well, thousands of people attended the Mardi Gras parade in downtown Pensacola over the weekend. Over 200 crews participated. Safety, of course, one of the top priorities with anti-vehicle devices. You may have seen those if you were downtown. They were on loan from FDLE. The barriers and personal safety personnel were stationed around that parade route, and city officials did say that the city's incident plan worked well. There's an investigation underway after a plane crash in Collier County over the weekend. A small plane went down yesterday afternoon near the Port of the Islands. The sheriff's office there says a pilot and a passenger were the only two on board. They were both taken to the hospital. 7:35, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. We just had an accident pop up right now on Highway 29 and Archer Road. That's off to the side of the road, but I definitely wanted you to know about it. And let's see here. East Burgess Road and Confederate Drive, that is moved off to the side. I'm not seeing any delays associated with that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up near 69 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 68 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 61 degrees. Heading into Wednesday, a few more passing clouds with a high near 73. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got cloudy skies. 58 degrees. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Sorry, I played the wrong sounder there. That was very overly dramatic.
I'm Dan Loney with Your Money Now. Uber Eats is bringing artificial intelligence to your next grocery shopping list. The ride-hailing company said that its food delivery platform is debuting a new AI assistant that lets customers build a shopping cart using text or images like handwritten grocery lists. Uber is offering the feature through dozens of large retailers, including Safeway, Albertsons, and Kroger. The demand for bonds right now is insatiable. That's the word from the Wall Street Journal, which says that the extra yield or spread that investors demand to hold highly rated corporate bonds instead of ultra-safe U.S. Treasuries hit a 27-year low in late January. Spreads on speculative-grade corporate bonds dropped to an 18-year low. And the medals that athletes have won during the Olympics in Milan could be far more valuable than in past games because of higher gold and silver prices. At current precious metal prices, the so-called melt value of an Olympic medal, which contains only 6 grams of gold, is around $2,500. That's your money now.
Did you know? Economic development is not about slogans. It is about outcomes. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to recruit and support businesses that generate high-wage jobs, significant capital investment, and long-term tax base growth. That means stronger public services and a more competitive Escambia County without raising taxes. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news, right now.
Right now. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay at Pensacola Morning News. Joining us right now by phone, we have Colton Wright. He is the Santa Rosa County Commission Chairman right now and District 5 Representative. That means Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, that vicinity. Colton, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning. Hey, happy Monday.
Hey, great to have you. You were in D.C. last week, and you were talking about all kinds of military-related things. What did you accomplish? What did you work on? You tell me. I'm just curious to find out.
Well, we were up there Tuesday afternoon through Friday morning with the Northwest Florida Defense Coalition. So that, you know, Escambia County, Santa Rosa County's efforts to make sure we're advocating for proper funding and support of our local military bases. So Commissioner Cole from Escambia County was up there along with myself and some business leaders and other people. And we were working on a number of things, trying to make sure that we got funding for hangar repair over at NAS Pensacola, funding for Child Development Center at NAS Wayne Field. You know, they've got a backlog and a waiting list of over 100 kids at that base. And also trying to get support from congressmen and senators for our efforts for a land swap over at Outlying Field Santa Rosa at the Navy Field over there off Highway 87.
Yeah, you guys have been working on this for a little while. Obviously, you've seen what happened with, Escambia County managing to pick up OLF-8 or what they're now calling Outlying Fields. Long process. Of course, I think Santa Rosa County has had much more recent success in getting land used, and you guys have that. If the Navy's willing to give up that property off of 87 in exchange for, I assume, land elsewhere that they would build a new Outlying Field, that would be right next to the industrial park, right? So that would be all kinds of prime real estate for economic development.
Yeah, that land would only be used for industrial and recreational use, no housing, no residential development or anything like that. I think the thing that's important to remind people of is that, you know, we would not do anything that would impact the mission of the Navy. Actually, this land swap would be a way to enhance the Navy's capabilities. And that's one of the things we were just talking to, you know, Senator Moody's team, Senator Scott's team, and a number of other people. Obviously, spoke with Jimmy at length on two different days while we were up there, and just explaining to them how we have the ability to save the Navy money by using county contracting and procurement to rehab runways, build a new field. So we can not only can we do it faster, we can do it cheaper. And so just working through those challenges and just trying to get support for it. So when the time comes, we can move forward.
Oh, so this would be one of those, there's a category of services that I've heard you guys talk about this before. What is it?
IGSA, an Intergovernmental Services Agreement.
Right, where because of the procurement and contracting, intensely red tape thick, procurement and contracting obligations that the federal government, the Department of War, has to go through in order to do anything. If you guys do it instead, you can do it at a much reduced price. And so to the degree you can partner with the Navy to do things like, for example, on NES Whiting Field, or in this case, at an outlying field that you guys might build, it's a win for everybody. Is that is this all the right? Am I putting all the pieces together right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. In a lot of our meetings, we're actually educating, team members of these senators and congressmen about that process. Many of them weren't aware of it. And when we started talking about NAS Whiting and their outlying fields and the needs they have runways and taxiways that they cannot even begin to rehab until 2032 as far as the budget's concerned. Mm. If we start going down this path, we could effectively build new facilities or rehab their facilities so they would be able to reset the infrastructure time clock if we did it. And we could do it faster and much cheaper. So obviously they were all very interested in that.
So would there be another field somewhere else that the Navy would acquire that you guys would build? Or would this be we would take this land and in exchange we'd start providing these services? Or what's the nature of the deal that you're looking at?
Both are options.
Okay.
The Navy and Santa Rosa County are exploring all those options. It just depends on what they determine their actual needs are. There are existing fields that need some serious either rehab or advancements and changes to them. You know, as you know and as your listeners know, you know, the new TH-73 Thrasher helicopter that the Navy is using for training is a larger, heavier airframe than what they previously used. And there's some challenges from an infrastructure standpoint that they've realized that they didn't know when they first did the contract that have come up. You know, it's a little heavier, so it needs different there are different needs for the runways and the areas at these outlying fields they weren't aware of originally.
Interesting, because you're driving trucks instead of sedans, right? I mean,
kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, exactly. Okay, let me play contrarian for just a second. Santa Rosa County is way behind on infrastructure projects, roads of all kinds. It sounds like you're talking about diverting some of the road and paving capability to helping the Navy, which we like helping the Navy, but it seems like it would actually slow down the other abilities we have to do infrastructure projects.
No, that's not the case at all. So we would be using a number of different funding sources, likely not using Santa Rosa County taxpayer dollars. Funding sources such as Triumph Gulf Coast, the DSIP grant that the state of Florida has, a number of different grant opportunities, much like we've done with the taxiway and apron at Whiting Field at the Aviation Park. Frankly, that project is a case study that we're using to show the Navy and frankly, DHS, how we can get things done. So that funding source does not affect the ability for us to address roads in Santa Rosa County or any parks or public safety or anything else.
But it would allow for economic development, which will ultimately generate revenue. It would provide some kind of revenue in the sense of the Navy is paying you instead of trying to do it internally. So there are upsides. Plus, if Triumph comes through because we're creating jobs in the process, we can kind of – I'm seeing all these different pieces work together, which is neat. We're talking to Colton Wright. He is our Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5, Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point. Colton, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Culver's. Try the club chicken sandwich and sign up for the Welcome to Delicious app. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway, and Milton Culver's. Welcome to Delicious. We are back rolling accident-free, even delay-free right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I think you should really say it in the other way.
What?
Welcome to Delicious. You should.
Oh.
Like the Miami song.
Gotcha.
All right, fair enough. Hey, if you need to work on a home improvement project of any kind, you need tools, you need advice, you need safety gear, whatever it is, if it's hardware, Pensacola Hardware, they've got it. They have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 175 years, since 1851, before there was Levi's, before the Civil War. Like, they have been around. And they are your commercial construction supply business and your individual, right? Either end of the spectrum. In fact, you know, the warehouse is here. They'll do special orders for folks all day long. They help, you know, specified products that you might need because the architect or the engineer comes up with something unusual. They can do that or anything else. They probably got it in stock. In fact, I like to say, if you need it, they've got it. And if they don't have it, you really don't need it. Like, that's the level of expertise that they bring to this thing. So if you're building something, just an individual project or something big, you're building things for a living, either end of the spectrum, Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. Back to Colton Wright, Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. Colton, we're talking about your trip last week to D.C. and the various things you were working on. The Coast Guard training facility that we are trying to get for NAS Pensacola, did you work on that?
Yeah, we sure did. Obviously, that's Escambia County's been heading up that effort, but I think, you know, what's good for Escambia is usually good for Santa Rosa and vice versa, especially with such a rich military history across the region. So we had a great meeting at Department of Homeland Security with Sean Plankey and his team. And, you know, we focused on he focused on cost savings and quality of life and community support in their, you know, the factors they would use in determining, you know, what community or what facility would end up getting this new Coast Guard boot camp, you know, program. I don't know the military lingo for it, but, you know, it's effectively a new boot camp and a new training facility for Coast Guard. So as we discussed, NAS Pensacola, the fact that they already have, you know, good force protection there, they've got existing buildings that can be used, and there's, you know, it's currently a $30 million investment into rehabbing the berths for the cutters there. So when we started adding all those things in, Sean Plankey and his team were very interested in the Pensacola area. And I think, you know, they've got a lot of communities and states that are vying for that position and that project. But I think, I think the outlook looks very good for us.
Okay.
They were very impressed by the community support and quality of life in the region.
What are the other cities? Do we know who we're up against?
I know that Tim Scott has been pushing for Beaufort, South Carolina, which is obviously a Marine Corps area.
Right.
I know there's some push for some places in Texas. I even heard that, you know, Birmingham, Alabama, and a former college that was closed down. is in the or was requested. But I don't see how a landlocked community like Birmingham. Yeah, I don't see how a Coast Guard wants to be in a landlocked area like Birmingham, Alabama. But, you know, especially if you took a closed down college, you'd have to create, you know, all kinds of force protection infrastructure from scratch. And the cost of doing that would be outrageous. And, you know, and that's one of the things we talked with Sean about, you know, the IGSA and the ability for us to do it cheaper. So, you know, we laid out all of the pros and cons, and frankly, there was a lot more pros in the column for NAS Pensacola. So hopefully we'll make some headway and we'll hear something soon.
Hey, I know this isn't why you were there, but I know you were there with Mike Kohler, and of course he's a Escambia County Commissioner for District 2. One of the things that had come up recently was the possibility of there being some sort of funding application partnership for the replacement for the Navarre Beach Bridge in conjunction with the replacement for the Bob Sykes Bridge, that maybe you guys could be, you know, our two counties could be working together to secure funding for both. Or did any of that by chance come up? Is this something you've been working on?
Certainly been working on it. The only time it came up in conversation was with, you know, Jimmy Petronas. We just talked about some general infrastructure issues in the region and in Santa Rosa County. But this particular trip was primarily for the Defense Coalition.
Got it. Okay.
So we tried to focus. You know, the meetings were back-to-back and very hectic for several days, so we tried to stay on task as much as we could, especially since we had other people in the meetings with us.
Now, I know it's kind of one of those, like, you might be talking about anything with them, but when you're talking with Jimmy Petronas, did you work at all on the farmland issue? Because obviously this has come up, and, you know, we've been covering it this morning, the kind of back and forth with you and Rhett Rowell or whatever. But, you know, this is kind of a, to me, you know, throw as much mud up against the wall and try and find funding sources as you can. Did you talk about that with Jimmy?
Yeah, so the nice thing about, obviously, Jimmy is you know, we have great working relationships, right? As a matter of fact, we were standing in the hallways outside of his office, and we were about 15 minutes early, and he came walking down the hall and asked us what we were doing in the hallway, right? He says, you know, let's go in the office. So he let us in early, and he did. He mentioned to me, obviously, Shannon Ogletree was there with me, and he mentioned, he goes, hey, I met a guy yesterday that knows you guys. And I said, well, who's that? And he said, he goes, well, I'll get staff to get me a name. He goes, it's Ryan Jenkins. He was in here asking for some things for farms. And I laughed and I said, absolutely, I know Ryan. So he had, Ryan had an ask for a project regarding some type of grain or corn silo and a dryer and some other things. So we immediately began brainstorming if we could use Triumph dollars or we could make that an economic development project. So I texted Ryan when I got out of the meeting and said, hey, Jimmy just mentioned you, and let's circle back next week. So he and I are supposed to catch up this week and get a better understanding of what he's looking for. But it just goes to show you how many people are in D.C. at any given moment, because apparently he had been there just the day before and met with Congressman Petronas and his staff.
You had mentioned the Child Development Center at NAS Whiting Field is one of the things they're working on. This is basically a preschool / daycare, right?
That's correct. Yeah, the old one or the current one is in an old package store on base. It's a very old facility, and they just don't have the capability. So that, you know, look, when you've got junior lieutenants and officers going through flight training, you know, the last thing we need to do is have them worrying about, you know, they're having some place for their kid to, you know, in those early years before they're in school, right?
Right.
And, you know, currently the waiting list is over 100 kids long, and we're just trying to find a way to, you know, fund a new facility and build something newer and better so they can focus on getting their wings and being the warfighters of the future, and we can just help give them the tools they need.
Can I throw a weird idea at you that might be of no value whatsoever, but it occurs to me. I was watching the Board of Trustees meeting from UWF from last week, and one of the things that UWF is looking at is they're looking at a charter school that would be a lab school for their teachers to practice in and learn from, and it would be operated by somebody outside, but they would come in and build it on UWF. The other thing that they're looking at is some kind of a K-3 maybe private school. But one of the things that Manny Diaz kept mentioning is the value to the students with kids and the faculty with kids of having a school / K-3, or even as they do now, a pre-K like the daycare center, the Child Development Center. Having that on campus solves a lot of logistical issues for those parents. Now, I don't know exactly what would be involved, but is there any application of that concept for even not just daycare, pre-K, but to, you know, K-3, K-6, something like that on the campus at NES Whiting Field?
I haven't heard any talk of that. I'm just going to guess that based on the age of the members,
sailors, you know, the Marines,
the junior officers,
yeah.
That they're probably, most of them don't have kids that age. I think most of them are either don't have any children at all or just extremely young families.
Okay.
So we've, you know, the need that I've heard from them is primarily that, newborn to toddler.
Got it. Okay.
Age group.
Okay. So already solving for the demographic that actually exists among the trainees. Okay. That makes sense. I just, thinking out loud, and I thought, well, there's several hundred people doing this thing. Maybe there'd be value in this other thing. So fair enough. Santa Rosa County Commission Chairman right now, and also District 5, which is Tiger Point and Gulf Breeze, Colton Wright. Colton, as always, thank you for the time. We look forward to talking to you again soon, and we'll see you then.
All right, thanks for having me.
You bet, absolutely. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right, still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow you down right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you have a business, you have employees, you have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, payroll, all of that kind of stuff. Hey, you can do it on your own. I mean, yeah, I get it. People do that sometimes. You can have a company do it for you, and they do that, and maybe it's going great, and if it is, fine. But if it's not, or if you wonder if maybe there's a better way to do it, Torgerson Consulting, that's exactly what they've been doing for more than two decades for local companies here in this area. We've been using them for about 5 years. I mean, it actually has been 5 years since 2021. In January, we started with them. And they've been fantastic here at News Radio and Cat Country. They do all of our benefits stuff. So they handle it. They give us plans we didn't have before, choices we didn't have before. They answer questions. Just the whole package, okay? When it comes to managing benefits, they are our people. Find out if they can maybe do it for you cheaper or better. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Beads are fun.
Laissez-les bon temps rouler.
Moon pies, too. Traffic, not so much. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
That's my youth right there. That makes me so happy. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Congress is heading into a 10-day recess as parts of the federal government remain shut down. Funding for the Department of Homeland Security expired on Saturday, impacting agencies that account for about 13% of the civilian workforce. At the Winter Olympics, Team USA was shut out of the medal count on Sunday. The American men's hockey team stayed undefeated, cruising past Germany 5-1 to finish preliminary play at 3-0. The U.S. will face the winner of Sweden and Latvia next, while the American women take on Sweden in today's semifinal. And Andrew, the man behind some of the most popular video game consoles of the 90s and the 2000s has passed away. Hideki Sato, he was behind the Genesis and the Dreamcast. He led the company's design team in the 80s and the 90s, died at 77 years old on Friday.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Shaped an entire generation of gamers.
Entire generation.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, there are certain people that, you know, in the gaming community, and this is a name that even I recognize as being only like a mild, you know, I'm not a gamer now, but like used to be, you know. Talk about shaping. I mean, the physical architecture on which you play these things, and it's hard to overstate it. Hey, the parade on Saturday was fun. I liked it going on Jefferson. It was a different vibe than it was on Palafox normally. Palafox kind of feels, it's kind of not cramped, but it's very packed. And so if you like that feel, then you probably like it. And it's louder because the noise bouncing off all of the walls. And, of course, people with the balconies. The balconies this time were on Southtown, which was odd. Local news.